This is Upstate's HealthLink on air. Linda Cohen here with you. Despite the legalization of marijuana in some states in this country, the sale, use, and possession of the drug remains illegal in New York State, and the synthetic versions of the drug being sold on the street can be toxic. Syracuse area hospitals have recently seen a surge of patients seeking emergency care after synthetic marijuana that is causing seizures, tremors, high blood pressure, and violent behavior. And here with more on all of this is Dr. Ross Sullivan. He's the director of the Medical Toxicology Consultation Service, an assistant professor in the Department of Emergency Medicine at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Sullivan. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
So we're seeing this uptick in these kinds of cases. Explain that. What's happening?
Sure. Over the past several weeks, we have seen upwards of 50 cases just at Upstate Hospital of these synthetic marijuana cases. And not only at Upstate Hospital, but also in our neighboring hospitals within Syracuse as well.
So it's almost like an epidemic.
It is. It is an epidemic, absolutely. Whenever you have these many people in an emergency room and or hospital, the amount of resources and time that go into these patients is a lot. And whenever you have that many people at one time in a hospital, it does cause an epidemic.
So what do these people look like? I mean, and do we always know that this is tied to the synthetic marijuana use?
So these people, we're seeing a variety of different symptoms, but they're coming in mainly in two different flavors. Our first type of patient seems to be in a coma. Their heart rate might be a little bit low. Their blood pressure might be a little bit low. They may even be in a coma. These people are dangerous because whenever you're in a coma, sometimes you can lose your respiratory drive or your breathing ability. Sometimes these people have to get intubated, or in other words, a tube has to be put in their trachea.
A breathing tube, yeah.
Absolutely, a breathing tube to have these people breathe, and we put them on a ventilator, which is always very worrisome, and there's a lot of complications when this happens in a hospital. The second group of people seem to be agitated, maybe very sweaty, high heart rate, high blood pressure. Maybe they have seizures. They can be dangerous, violent. So this seems to be the second group of people. And then, of course, that, of course, has its own problems as well. And every time you have an agitated, violent person, they can not only hurt themselves, but they can hurt everyone else around them. And these people have to be sedated. They have to be given tranquilizing medicine to basically put them to sleep so they don't hurt themselves or anybody else.
So, I mean, that's very worrisome. I guess the question is, what happens to them? What's the natural course of events then?
The natural
They usually come in through the emergency room.
Well, almost all these people come in through the emergency room.
And you basically have to treat, as you mentioned, in a variety of ways. So what happens following
Absolutely.
That?
Well, the history of these drugs, or what happens to them, is just as varied as their symptoms. Some people wake up and within 4 to 6 hours are normal. And they're back at baseline, and they're very nice people. They walk around, they eat, they drink, they go home. They're normal. The other group of people sometimes have to be admitted to the hospital. Of course, the people who are very sick, who get intubated, or maybe need a lot of sedatives, have to be admitted to the hospital overnight and watched until the next day or several days until they improve. Other people are just a little bit sleepy, not quite back to their baseline, and have to be admitted as well. So we see people who go home within 4 to 6 hours. We see some people who go home the next day. And we also have a subset of people who are in the ICU for a week and are still quite sick.
Have any died?
To the best of my knowledge, none have died, no.
So it is not actually life-threatening, but it's causing a lot of harrowing kinds of symptoms.
I would say that some things are life-threatening. Whenever you have to put a tube in someone's throat to keep them alive, whenever you have to give someone medicine to stop a seizure or give them medicine to stop being agitated, the end result could be death.
And clearly, if somebody is exhibiting very severe violent behaviors, there's no telling what could happen.
That is absolutely correct.
If they weren't controlled in some way.
Absolutely right. They can seriously hurt themselves, kill themselves,
or
somebody
other
else.
People.
Absolutely.
So what exactly is this synthetic marijuana, and how is it different from the more natural kind?
So without getting into too much specifics, what we know is that these synthetic marijuanas, they actually bind to the same receptors in the body that regular marijuana does. But they're chemically structured very different. There's some similarities, but they're very different. And this is why you can't detect these on a drug screen. Drug screens use structures of a drug in your urine or blood, and then they can look at that structure and they say, well, you have X, Y, or Z in your blood. These are different. And because of that, they're not really easily detectable. but they bind to the same receptors in your brain and in your body. But they do so with much more potency, 100, 200 times the potency. And when that happens, variable different things happen to the human body. We don't understand enough about the receptors of the body, or the cannabinoid receptors is what we call them, to really understand why the symptoms happen. But we do think that these drugs bind the same receptors, but do so with much, much higher affinity, causing dangerous symptoms.
So they're on the street, and they're called many different things. I've seen things, spike or spice, and then they have brand names. They actually have brand names. I've seen Geeked Up, Caution, Keisha Cole. I mean, they're out there for purchase and use, and people have been using them for years. Is that correct?
That is correct. There's always some new users. A lot of the people, though, that we speak to have been using these products for months or years.
And so why now, I guess, is the question. I mean, not that I'm advocating in its use in general, but why now this kind of epidemic of problems?
I think there's two things. Number one, we're seeing an explosion of new products on the market. We are seeing these packages now of products that we've never really seen before. So we have new products, which probably have a new type of synthetic marijuana in it, an additional type that's more dangerous than what we've even seen before. And the older ones that people have been using, we believe that there actually might be something new in that product as well. So we believe that there are people who are using new products and or new users, but also there's a whole group of people who have been using the same or similar product, but with something in it now is different and it's causing them to be very sick. What's very interesting is the way these packages are marketed to, and there's definitely some packages are definitely marketed to a younger audience, you know, things like Geeked Up and Jolly Green Giant have more of like a playful cartoon type of look to their package. And then there's other types called like Psycho, or, you know, or Caution. They have very ominous looking pictures on it. And that might be for your more adventurous type of, say, drug user. So these are very intelligently marketed to their audience.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with toxicologist and emergency physician Dr. Ross Sullivan. We're talking about the synthetic marijuana epidemic, or the outbreak of very severe symptoms from the use of synthetic marijuana. So I guess the point now is, I mean, I guess one of the things that I think about is if we have it as a legal product, is synthetic marijuana legal in the states where marijuana has been legalized?
Synthetic marijuana blanketly is illegal in the United States.
Okay, that's a very important distinction.
What happens is that the FDA only really has purview over structures that can actually be identified by, let's say, a chemist or by scientists. And that's the way the FDA works. They can't just blanketly say everything's illegal. They have to have a structure of a drug to say, well, this is illegal, or anything that kind of looks like this structure is illegal, like they've done with cocaine and they've done with heroin, right? They made those specific structures illegal. What the problem here is that these street drug makers are constantly changing the chemical structure to the point where we, as a medical healthcare entity, cannot keep up with it. We literally cannot figure out fast enough the structures that they're changing and making. And by doing so, they're a step ahead of the law enforcement and medical groups. We cannot keep up with how fast they're changing it, which is why we have to be more proactive maybe on the social and home front, because right now we're lagging behind in keeping up with the chemical structures.
Do we have any idea where this stuff is coming from?
That's a wonderful question. Something that we get asked quite a bit, we don't really know. We do have some suspicions through that China was a supplier, and in fact there was a public radio NPR news piece last year where someone tried to track down where this is coming from in China. But certainly I think that that's probably not the only place or maker. To the best of my knowledge, no big manufacturers have really been caught. And it's still elusive. We're not sure.
So it's basically in the dark side.
It is in the dark side.
And nobody has any clue. But it sounds to me, have we seen these kinds of outbreaks of these kinds of symptoms before with synthetic marijuana?
Well, several years ago, as you may remember, we had a synthetic marijuana and a bath salts problem. The synthetic marijuana we're seeing now tends to be much more dangerous than what we saw then. We had a lot of people come in then who had some complications similar to now, but not as severe. What we're seeing now is not quite as violent, let's say, as the bath salts were. But the sheer number of people we've seen have already far exceeded what we saw during the bath salts and synthetic marijuana craze of 2 to 3 years ago. So this is actually maybe a bigger health problem in that we are seeing a far larger amount of people ranging in age from 14 to 60, non-discriminatory in terms of ethnicity, color, race, religion, social status. And it's a very big problem. And I would say that this is a bigger problem in terms of public health than what we saw a few years ago.
Where else in New York State has there been a problem?
We have been in contact with the various large cities in New York City, New York State. New York City is also having a very big problem with this. I've seen upwards of 150 to 200 patients. Of course, they have a very large, patient population there. As of last week, 2 weeks ago, it was pretty much Syracuse and New York City that were having the large problem. However, now cases are starting to rise in Albany, Rochester, and Buffalo. They have not had the numbers that we've had yet, however, but they're slowly starting to catch up.
So basically, these cities are where they're being marketed or targeted.
Yes. Yeah, I think the cities are probably the hotbeds. This is where the hospitals are. But I think all the surrounding areas of the cities, the suburbs, are just as afflicted.
And the state has issued some kind of an alert, as has our own Poison Control Center.
Yes, absolutely. We have the Poison Control Center here, along with the Poison Control Center in New York City, and the public health community in general has made a public health alert, to try to get this out there to the community. And we're doing our best right now to figure out what these things are. We're trying to find out where they're coming from, where they're being purchased, where they're being made. So a lot of resources now are starting to go into this, and we're going to try our best to get to the bottom of this and figure it out.
Now, in 2012, when you recently alluded to the fact that in 2012 they had the bath salts problem, where there was a lot of violent behavior as well. And at the time, the community did have more drug raids, and there were new laws and better education efforts. Was it effective? And I guess the question is, what should we be doing now?
Wonderful question. I think it was effective. 2 years ago, the bath salts almost became obsolete. And one thing that we know, though, is that drugs that go out of fashion come back into fashion, or there's new drugs. And that's one thing that's very important. What's important is the number one thing to try to avert these problems. Law enforcement and medical field, we could do the best that we possibly can. The number one thing is to have the conversation at your dinner table, have the conversation with your family, your friends, your children. Make sure to let them know that this stuff is not safe. And because it's synthetic marijuana does not mean it's safe or like regular marijuana. These things can kill you. They can really hurt you. And we need to have this conversation with our friends and family now, today, so we can help everyone for tomorrow.
Well, I think that's an excellent message. And I guess anybody who has questions about synthetic marijuana can call the Upstate Poison Control Center, and that's at 1-800-222-1222. And we'll have a link on our website as well. Thanks so much for coming in. My guest has been Dr. Ross Sullivan, Director of Medical Toxicology Consultation Service and Assistant Professor in the Department of Emergency Medicine at Upstate Medical University. I'm Linda Cohen. You're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.